The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino.
And we have one of those cricket moments. Take a listen.
Name one time that I have been named in any scandal at all in my career, in my life. Thank you.
Okay.
I just, you know, I find this whole thing so disappointing from the standpoint that, you know, she can make innuendos like that or at least attempt to. She knows they're false.
A discussion beyond the headlines.
You made a point that, well, he's kind of a puppet. Explain what you were saying with that.
Well, he's endorsed by the entire political establishment, career politicians, mind you, not our local elected leaders and our city councils, but by your career politicians.
With and about newsmakers who impact our lives.
Interesting mix of stories, holding a party as Rome burns.
You know, actually, if their goal is to drive the country into the third world, maybe that's what they were celebrating, because they're achieving that.
Ouch.
On AM 870, The Answer.
Time to check in with Andy Bales, CEO, Union Rescue Mission. It's our series at the heart of the homeless crisis. Andy joining us right now. Thank you so much for being there.
Thank you, Larry.
Well, City Council President Nuri Martinez and three other council members are calling for a review of the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority's role in addressing the city's homeless crisis. In a motion filed Friday, Martinez and Councilman Kevin DeLeon, Curran Price, and Paul Kerkorian sought a report on the governance structure of LASA and how the city could increase direct oversight over homeless outreach and services. They also sought a strategy for the city to transition to its own system to coordinate services for unhoused individuals, along with possibly creating a department officer division for in-house homeless services. I think the place to start on this is, let's back up and figure out how LASA got there, because it's kind of an interesting story, isn't it?
It is an interesting story, and it's interesting that both the county and the city have both claimed the same notion, even though they each have at least five representatives on the LASA Commission already. So it looks like they want to take more control of LASA.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking, just solve this crisis. You know, organizations, you can create more of them. You cannot create more of them. But, you know, remember the old saying, rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic is kind of the sad joke about stuff like this. Government agencies can get caught up in government agencies, can't they?
They absolutely can. And that's interesting, because that same quote was shared in the county's meeting about taking more control of LASA, rearranging chairs, lounge chairs on the Titanic. So it will be interesting. It's very political, and it's very it's a blame game, right? It always has been a blame game between the city and the county, rather than taking the responsibility to work together. The city and the county worked together to address homelessness. In fact, so much so that you saw recently that the city and the county both fought federal judge David Carter in court at the Ninth Circuit, until finally the Ninth Circuit kicked it back, and finally they each settled with the LA Alliance for Human Rights, and Judge Carter is going to meet with them to finalize the settlement. And but it's interesting, because he still is going to need to hold the city and the county accountable to carry it out. I can't believe how the city continues to try to stick with the very expensive, slow to develop housing as the solution. And I'm hoping someone intervenes and makes them do immediate shelter and housing, as was called for by the LA Alliance and the settlement.
Yeah. Last week we talked about the the count, the homeless count, and it's the first one since 2020 because of COVID, and it was up like 4% for the county, 2% for the city, I think. Is that about right? I mean, you and I were talking about how whatever the estimates are, they're probably way under what they really are because of the mobile population and the move toward people living in cars or RVs, right?
Yeah, yes. And remember, that count was done while 10,000 people were in Project Room Key, of which Project Room Key probably only has 500 or so left in that. And so at least 60% moved out of Project Home Key. 40% ended up in housing or interim housing. 60% are likely back on the street. So that was a little blessing in disguise that during the count, we revved up Project Room Key. But remember, Project Room Key is no longer revved up.
So the governor got what he wanted. He's signed into law that special court. I know you've been following that. It's going to be rolled out county by county. L.A. County is not one of the first ones to do this. Orange County, by the way, Riverside County, are going to have these courts where an individual, a homeless person, can be referred to mental health evaluations and have an advocate. Your thought about that?
I'm glad. It's something that I was thrilled with the governor returning to the common sense that we had 30 years ago in the Midwest when we actually could take somebody who was a danger to themselves or others to a mental health referee and get them at least the temporary help that they needed while it was determined what kind of future help was needed.
Yeah. Same time, the governor turned down the idea of having needle shelter facilities in the state. Some cities, though, are going to do it themselves. They're still bent on thinking it's best to get clean needles and help people shoot up and get them Narcan rather than get them clean.
Yes, and we absolutely are heading in the wrong way generally in society. Instead of being like Alberta, where they meet people where they are.
Andy Bales, Union Rescue Mission, URM.org. Check it out, and you can maybe give them a little help there for Thanksgiving. Andy Bales, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you, Larry. Bye.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino.
Time now to check in with Jim Ellis, ellisinsight.com, for a look at the week in politics. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning, Larry. Very well.
We're getting closer, ever closer to Election Day, and with that, some people are saying that, the House was pretty much in the hands of Republicans, but now hinting that, you know, there's a chance now that Republicans could take back both the House and the Senate. What are you hearing?
Well, there always was that chance, but the Democrats do have the easier path to the Senate because of the map, and there's nothing either side can do about that. But there is something to what you're saying, because right now, I just did an analysis of all the polling in the Senate races that was really spurred by the new University of Georgia poll that has Herschel Walker back ahead in the Georgia Senate race and Governor Brian Kemp pulling pretty far ahead of Stacey Abrams. But if you look at the 11 targeted Senate races, where the races of the greatest competition, all of them are within about 4 points of each other. And all of them, virtually all of them except two, are within the 40s. I haven't seen that in other years where you have that many races that are that close. Yeah. So, yes, I mean, if we catch a wave right at the end for Republicans, it's always been possible that they could gain the Senate majority. It just hasn't been as probable, but it still could happen.
Yeah, a turn kind of at the point when Biden gave his infamous speech with the red spotlights in Independence Hall and the guards there and lashing out at half the country. That didn't help, did it?
I wouldn't think so. It's an interesting play, and I noticed that Charlie Crist, who's running against Ron DeSantis, he basically did the same thing, attacking the people that are going to vote against you when, as DeSantis said, if he doesn't want the vote of the majority of the people, that's fine with me. And that seems to be what they're doing, which is an interesting approach. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some other factors that may be at play. The economy. I'm noticing the gas prices continue to edge up. We had one day this week already where gas prices were up about 5, 6, 7 cents a day, which kind of interesting as we spend down this reserve we have. Kind of scary when you think about that story. People are paying more. They're not getting relief at the supermarket. And then you have this. You have this interview that Biden does with Scott Pelley from CBS. Take a listen. Take a listen.
Mr. President, as you know, last Tuesday, the annual inflation rate came in at 8.3%. The stock market nosedived. People are shocked by their grocery bills. What can you do better and faster?
Well, first of all, let's put this in perspective. Inflation rate month to month was just an inch, hardly at all.
You're not arguing that 8.3 is good news.
No, I'm not saying it's good news, but it was 8.2 or 8.2 before. I mean, it's not. I can make it sound like all of a sudden, my God, it went to 8.2%.
He tries to use that argument that the little difference between when everyone has to buy gas every week, everyone has to buy groceries every week, so whether it's a little bit in between, you don't pay the in-between price. You pay the full price and the price that's gone up. So that argument, I don't think it plays well. It's not a, whoever gave that to him, it's not really working, is it?
Well, I'm sure nobody gave that to him. I'm pretty sure he came up with that on his own. But it proves his program's not working, whatever his program is, or this spending program. What happened to their Inflation Reduction Act? So far, it hasn't reduced inflation, has it?
No. And then he gets out there on one interview and says that the pandemic is over and all these programs are financially tied to it. Like, you know, millions and millions of people, relief will be cut off if the pandemic is officially over, and you get people walking that back. And, you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about how that program to give billions of dollars in relief to people from college loans, that was tied to that as well. So wait, if you really say it's over, then all that stuff's in jeopardy, isn't it?
Well, once again, he's beyond their talking points, which is to keep COVID alive forever for the very reasons you're talking about. And I'm sure he's not what they want. That's for sure.
All right. We talked some Senate races. Let's talk about Pennsylvania and the race there. You have one candidate who's had a stroke, has had some difficulty in speaking. Apparently, there is going to be a debate now, but it's not till late in the election cycle. Right?
Yes, he agreed to have a debate, but not until, I believe, October the 28th. Pennsylvania has early voting that starts at least 2 weeks before that time. And that's why they chose that late date. Or that's why John Fetterman, who we're talking about, the lieutenant governor of the state, he did have a stroke just 3 days before their primary election, which was back in May. He clearly is not fully recovered. It was a major stroke. I mean, he had a stroke that was caused by a blood clot in his heart. So he's lucky to be alive, let alone be campaigning for the Senate. So both parties have problems in that race. Mehmet Oz for the Republicans just is not very popular. In fact, his popularity numbers or his favorability numbers are even worse than Biden's in Pennsylvania. But he's gaining, and that race is closing to within 4 or 5 points. The seeds are sown for what should be a good election for Republicans. Let's see if they can cash in on it.
Jim Ellis, EllisInsight.com. Thank you for your wise counsel. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Larry.
AM 870, The Answer.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.